O Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Through Christ our Redeemer. Amen. If you have taken 10th grade religion, first semester, then you have covered the history of the divided kingdom, the kings of Israel in the north, the kings of Judah in the south. Can we think of some standouts in that list, both good and bad? Like wicked King Ahab, who, as the Bible reports, sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. You don't want the Bible saying that about you. On the positive side, there's faithful King Hezekiah, who famously, with God's help, stood up to the bully back then, the powerful Assyrian king and his invading army. Of course, with the passing of time, our knowledge of who these kings were and what they did begins to fade, especially if we don't review. It gets muddled in the mind. A bunch of ancient Bible history that seems disconnected from us, hard to relate to in our modern day lives as New Testament followers of the greatest king, the Lord Jesus. I suspect that the two books of Kings and the two books of Chronicles are not the top four in your list of Bible book favorites. Well, today, let's reverse course and take to heart what the New Testament says about these Old Testament examples, God's encouragement for us in Romans 15, verse 4. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. What's the best thing we could learn from the Old Testament examples, especially the kings of Judah, who, by the way, were ancestors of Jesus? It's not the facts of who they were during their careers, or even what they did as a good example for us, as important as that information is. No, we'll focus on the patterns. Patterns that repeat in their lives and ours. Let's focus on three. First of all, in the pattern of each king chosen by God to lead his people as directed, we learn something about Christian leadership, Christian responsibility, because God's expectations remain the same. Right now, you are getting prepared, potentially, to be some kind of Christian leader. It may be that very important role of parent. You, as mom or dad, leading your child to know Jesus. Or doing the same as the teacher of other people's children in a day school or Sunday school. Maybe it's the role of pastor one day, or some other Christian leader. Whatever type of leadership comes to pass, God expects you and me to be loyal to him 100% of the time. That means submitting to his will in all things, obedience to his word in every circumstance. Whether leader or follower, God expects all of us to be an example to other people and show them by our words and actions what it means to follow the Lord. Along with very high expectations from God comes a very high standard of measurement. Something way beyond the grading system that we use at school. Even as God did with those kings, he will measure each one of us in terms of doing right in his sight or doing wrong. Judgment from God becomes the result. We now bump into the second pattern, the inevitable result that we come up short and keep on committing sins. Even with the standout kings, this pattern shows up along with everybody else. It's the universal problem of the human condition. Human sin becomes divine judgment. Even with a king like Hezekiah, we have a man struggling with his human nature like everyone else. These leaders gave in to pride, stubbornness, misplaced loyalties. God had to send the prophet pastor to call them out, to show them the error of their ways. They all needed to repent. They all needed God's forgiveness. They needed a Savior, and so do we. This brings us to the third and best pattern. God's grace at work in the coming of Jesus, his doing, and his dying. When the king failed, God's covenant made with David did not. The promise of the Savior was still on track. The sins of these men did not cancel it. Whenever the king of Judah failed, it became clear that he was not the one. No Jewish king of the Old Testament times could be or would do what only Jesus did. He's the standout for all. He's the all-conquering Lord who stomped down the worst of our enemies. Sin, death, devil, and hell. He brought us everlasting victory and did something unique with his kingdom. He leads us into the kind of kingdom where the king rules with his people, making them, in the end, members of the royal family, eternally. This pattern of grace, revealed in prophecies fulfilled, promises kept, will be a big part of what the text calls the patience and comfort of the scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, together, in which we have great hope. Hope of eternal life based on the King of Kings, David's greater son, his Lord and ours. Praise be to him who is our Emmanuel. Hail to our King, the Lord Jesus, now and forever. Amen. We sing a hail to our King in hymn 59, stanzas 1 and 6. Two of them, 1 and 6, hymn 59.